Welcome to another installment of the Special Educator Series. I'm your host, Tom Hankins, instructor, tutor, consultant, and musician. Our motto here is critical thinking with a twist. Our website is tsegrp.org. Again, tsegrp.org. Emailing will be host@tsegrp.org. Again, host@tsegrp.org. Facebook, X, and Rumble at tsegrp. At TSEGRP, and YouTube is TSEDGRP, again, TSEDGRP. Instagram is The Special Educator. As usual, if you're watching, you'll see my animated icons asking you to like, follow, subscribe, notify, ask questions, or leave comments. All of those do help us. I appreciate any effort in your part on that regard. So, like I said, we're going to be talking about energy tech, which is, in this case, I'm going to talk about nuclear reactors. I do want to say something and go to the full cam here so we can have a hard talk conversation. Last week, something came out. It was posted out there on social media, and I have to be honest with you. I found it very entertaining. It turns out it wasn't quite what I thought. So let me go over here so you can see what I'm talking about. You may or may not have heard about this. Company is Enron. Yes, the same Enron that went belly up many years ago. And another group of people bought out the license to the name, and they started up Enron again, if you will. So what they did is they put out this thing called the Egg. It's supposed to be a nuclear reactor for the home, what we'll call a micro-sized nuclear reactor. And I thought it was very entertaining because I've been studying nuclear energy and smaller form factor reactors for a while. I have a lot of interest in that, which is what this is going to be about. But this prompted me. And if you go through their website, it looks fully legit. It goes through design. There's the copy of the release video. You can link to it there. They go through the technology. They're calling it a uranium zirconium hydride reactor. They claim to have proprietary mining for this. And they use boron control drums, as they call them. But turns out all this looking really nice, have all this information here. Turns out it wasn't real. And let me go over here. Here's the story. This is one of several. And Enron's fake product launch of the mini nuclear reactor sparks a wave of social media jokes and memes. You can see here that they're talking, you know, pretty much about the same thing I was just bringing about. I'm just going to say this. They promoted it. Turns out it wasn't real. And although it might be a nice idea, they have little memes here. Enron egg when it hatches and Enron egg in 2026. You see Arnold Schwarzenegger from Total Recall. But besides the jokes and everything else about it, this in and of itself could eventually be a reality. Now here's why. Let's get into the meat and potatoes on this. Small form nuclear reactors have been around for quite some time. I'm going to go over the history of it, but generally what we're talking about is here. There are large scale reactors, which we're all familiar with, your Chernobyls, your Three Mile Islands, things like that. They're meant to be power production plants for a large area. Small reactors are going to bridge the gap. You have small and micro reactors. Micro reactors are basically anything that's transportable overland, either on a flatbed truck or in a container vehicle, something of that sort. And they'll have their use as well, particularly in emergency response and small to medium scale industry where the power grid isn't healthy enough. Now, the mid-grade, what we'll call the small reactors, are really there to bridge communities that have power grid issues where things aren't stable. It is a great option here compared to the larger scale. When you talk about the power grid, everything is laid out on basically a network of power lines, both underground and above ground, across the United States. It has long been held that if you could take the energy production and distribute it better across the grid, you would actually have more efficiency, less line loss, and better safety. So these small reactors are something that are very promising. Let me go over, I'm going to backtrack here a little bit, and I came up with an essay. I used AI to generate this, dealing with the evolution of small molten salt and micronuclear reactors. Now, molten salt can be used on different scales, but rather than the typical thermonuclear fission reactions that we see in most of these other plants, large scale, they don't use uranium. And quite frankly, well, they don't have to. They can use other elements that will work just as well. But the beauty of the molten salt is that molten salt, that fluid, acts as both a coolant and a fuel source, making it very interesting. But before I get going, anything I post down here for material is at the bottom of this. I'm going to make sure to post this out on the websites and the social media pages, so you can just link to anything you want that I show you online. But generally what I want you to get here, basically right there, that line right there. Let's go here. 1950s. And as you can see, they were used for submarines and aircraft carriers. There was also, back in Michigan, the Enrico Fermi Atomic Power Plant that I've been by. It didn't see a long life. It has its ups and downs, had operational issues, and basically in 72, that went away. Let me skip down here. Officially speaking, where is it here? In 1955, there it is. The first U.S. nuclear submarine in 1955 was the Nautilus. Now, I was born in 65, so I will say this. I remember the Nautilus. It was famous. And something that as a young child, I kind of enjoyed reading up about. It's kind of cool. I was into submarines and boats and things like that back then. Anyway, let's talk about the use. I'm going to call small nuclear reactors the mid-sized reactors, and the micronuclear reactors the smallest of them. The difference being micro reactors are transportable again. Just so remember that when I refer to micro, they are transportable over land. Small are for in space or in place construction, and they can be varying sizes to help with the power grid or power industrial applications on a standalone system. This thing about molten salt reactors is a little different. Molten salt is the design of the reactor. It doesn't really have much to do with the size per se, although they're suited for much smaller reactors, especially the in-place, we'll call small form reactors. So they can talk about companies. They talk about NuScale and Haltech and things like that, and there's going to be discussions out here about China and Russia being a little bit ahead of us. China has actually successfully operated a thorium unit. Now, thorium is another fuel source besides uranium. It's considered, once it's going, it's considered very self-sustaining and a very safe platform in which to operate. However, getting there is the hard part. Thorium is very difficult to process and make usable. Russia has a mineral salt reactor as well. And they call that the Russia's floating nuclear power plant. Micro reactors are kind of on the forefront, but what we're dealing with here is, if you look at this here, they're dealing with different fuel sources. Again, the whole idea is operating things safely and making it more useful to the power grid. Now, very high temperature is what's needed. So these molten salt reactors, being one thing, offer a very high temperature capability to produce the steam to power the turbines that generate the electricity. So you get it. The whole idea is to produce heat in a safe way, and a lot of it. So the benefit of the molten salt, again, high temperatures and low pressures. And as you can see there, industrial applications might be a target. They're flexible, they're scalable, and they're efficient. So I'm going to go back here, and I want you to see this. CBS News, they do have a video out, and this is on the first small modular reactor, they call them SMRs, for U.S. use. Now, there's a video on it. It shows a lot of information. But basically what we're looking for here is something that is going to be operational right here by 2029. So we're still a little bit away, but you also want to see, where is it here? There it is. There is a lot of money going into this type of technology. So the government is behind it, but that makes me a little bit nervous because it could end up slowing things down unnecessarily as well. So let me get back to you on this before I let you go. The Enron egg prompted me to release this a little bit early, but for those of you that are paying attention, my perspective is this, that smaller form nuclear power plants are a viable and, I believe, a promising alternative to the current technologies that are out there. The petroleum hydrocarbon fuel sources are plentiful. They are efficient in the sense that, you know, we already have that technology down. Doesn't matter if it's coal, gas, or oil. Point is, that has been well developed, and we should utilize that as a bridging capability to more modern technology. Looks like wind and solar are not going to be major sources of energy. They're not reliable. They do have environmental considerations that are to be discussed. I had another video on that with wind and solar. They're not scalable in the sense that you can just put them anywhere. They require large tracts of land to install, and that becomes an issue too. Finally, they are not demand responsive. In other words, as energy demand increases, they can't just respond in real time. The sun has to be shining, the wind has to be blowing. Even if you store energy, they're not a continuous use, responsive type of energy. So just be aware of that. There are other forms of energy out there that we can discuss later on, but I wanted to really get this nuclear thing down because it's promising. Europe is using it. Russia is using it. India is going to be using it. And I think they're going to really push the thorium fuel source because they have very high deposits of ore that can be used to create the thorium fuel product that's needed. Here in the U.S., we have a lot of other mineral resources that will work quite nicely. We don't need the uranium fission powered reactors anymore. They're almost outdated. If we can build smaller and more plentiful with a wider distribution across the power grid, I think that is where we're going to be going, especially with data centers, AI, quantum computing, and the need for just storage. If you've ever listened to Kevin O'Leary, although he's Canadian, he has basically said that he's investing a lot of money in the U.S. and Canada to build large tech buildings for data storage and quantum computing and AI development and things of that sort. So there's promise. We are going to need a lot of power. It's going to increase exponentially our need for power as technology evolves. And folks, this is one type of energy technology that can serve the demands. It has to be done right. It has to be invested in. It has to be researched properly. I think we can do it safe. I think we can do it secure. And I think we can create a more modernized, more efficient, safer, and more reliable electrical grid using this technology. But it's still an all hands on deck thing. I'm not advocating for eliminating any type of energy technology. It's just supplementing it, building it better, stronger, more resilient, more reliable, more efficient. That is the key. If we can make things more efficient and just have things more on demand, we are headed in the right direction. So, before I get going, I'm Tom Hankins, instructor, tutor, consultant, and musician. If you ever need to find All our stuff is here. You can reach us. TSEGRP.org is our website. TSEGRP.org. If you want to email me, because I'm the only one operating this right now, host@TSEGRP.org. host@TSEGRP.org. Facebook, X, and Rumble. Rumble's the newest edition. @TSEGRP. @TSEGRP. Facebook, @TSEDGRP. @TSEDGRP. And then the Instagram, The Special Educator. I hope to see you. I am Tom Hankins. Until next time, enjoy.